ॐ भारताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वैषिणी.
Chapter 2, verse 47.
Karmanyevadhikaraste, karmanyevadhikaraste, ma phaleshu kadachana, ma phaleshu kadachana, ma karma phalahetur bhuhu, ma karma phalahetur bhuhu. Mate sangostu karmani, mate sangostu karmani.
Karmani eva adhikaraha te ma paleshu kadachana. Ma karma pala hetuhu bhuhu ma te sangaha astu akarmani.
When Swamiji is teaching this verse, he's quoting all of the time. This is the verse, really, that is the crux of Karma Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. It's also kind of it's key verse for Karma Yoga, and then there'll be a lot of supporting verses that come, but this is the key verse in the Bhagavad Gita on Karma Yoga, though there's others that support it and explicate it. So it says, Karmani, in karma, plus in karma, eva alone, adhikaraha te. Your qualification is in karma. And there's a couple of ways we're going to be looking at this. First way, okay? Karmani. You are qualified for karma. Talking to Arjuna. Karma means karma yoga. Your qualification is in buddhi yoga, karma yoga. You're qualified for karma yoga. Not for sankhya yoga. Means not for taking the lifestyle of sannyasa. It's good for you to stay in the world, to do your duty in the spirit of karma yoga. Right, so for you, there's a qualification is for karma yoga. Ma paleshu kadachana. Ma pale. This is how Shankara is taking it. Then he says, ma paleshu kadachana. Never. Your qualification is never going to be toward the results of actions. You have a right over the actions. You're qualified to do the actions. There's two ways to take this. You're qualified to do the actions. You're not qualified. You don't have a right. You don't have control over the results. You can choose the actions that you do. You can choose to do an action, to not do an action, to do an action differently. Right? That's true for any given action. You can do it. You can not do it. You can do it differently. But you can't control the result. Once you've done the action, the result is going to come to you, and that result is something that you don't have power over. If you had power over it, wow. You would always be able to reap the results, the desired results of your action. Okay, so let's just look at the grammar first. Because there's different levels of this. So, karmani eva adhikaraha te. First way to take this. You are qualified. Your qualification is in karma. Never in the results. Right? Another way of saying, you have a right to do the karma. Adhikaraha can be right. You have a right to do the karma. You don't have control for you. There's never control in reference to the results. Right? Ma karma pala hetuhu buhu. May you not be ma buhu. Right? It's a type of an air is being used as an imperative. Ma buhu. May you not be one who is a karma pala hetuhu, one who thinks of themselves as the hetu, as the cause for the results, the palas of karma. Don't consider yourself, don't let yourself be a karma pala hetuhu. Hetu means cause. Karma, pala, the results of action, the one who is the cause for the results of action. Then you're identifying with Ishvara, right? So don't consider yourself to be one who is the cause of the results of action, of your karmas. And then it says, Te sangaha astu akarmani. And at the same time, may you not be, may there not be for you sangha, attachment. Te, for you, sangaha, attachment, astu. Let there not be attachment. It says, Te sangaha astu akarmani. Let there, and ma again, two ma's, right? Ma te sangaha astu akarmani. May there not be any sangha attachment for you in akarma, in not doing action. Right? So there's a bunch of different things that are being said here. And Shankara takes this, Swamiji goes in one direction that's also very much in this verse. Shankara opens this in his commentary on this verse in an interesting way. He says, this is the opening. Karmani eva adhikadaha na jnana nishtayam te. He says, now taking adhikara to be qualification. Your qualification is in karma, means karma yoga. Not in jnana nishta, not in sankhya. Because Arjuna, and this will be explicated in the verses that come, you know, you don't have jnanam yet. Right? You're still a karta. You still consider yourself a doer. You still have desires. There's still things that you want to accomplish. And so when that is the case, that kartrutvam, that doership is still there. Right? You're a mamukshu. You're seeking knowledge. You've asked for jnanam. And so your nishta, really your path, is to gain knowledge. For whether you're in karma yoga or jnana yoga. Whether you have taken sannyasa and just gone off into the mountains to sit with your guru and give up all of your responsibilities to the world. If you take sannyasa, you actually do a ritual where you renounce all of your karmas, all of your responsibilities, all of the rituals and duties that you had, right, that bound you before you take the sannyasa. So once you take the sannyasa, that itself is a ritual that absolves you, not only absolves you from all of your karmas, it doesn't allow you to do them. You can't go back and do them. Right? You've given all of that up. And so once you've taken the vow of sannyasa and you've done the orange, you are now only good for, Swamiji sometimes will joke, right? You're now only good for jnanam. You're only good for knowledge. You either just sit with yourself, you study the shastra, or you teach. That's what you do. You're a sannyasi. You don't go up, you don't go back out and get a job. You don't go back out and decide you want to get married again. You don't live a householder's life. All of that, all of these things that you've given up. Also the daily pujas and rituals, you've given those up also. Right? So it's a vow that releases you from your responsibilities to the world and allows you then in dharma, with dharma, to just sit with yourself and study and be with this knowledge and to gain nishta in this knowledge. But to do that, to take that path of sannyasa that we're calling Sankhya Yoga here, okay? Sankhya Yoga means the path of sannyasa. Cutting off all of my responsibilities in the world, in a way, is much more difficult, as Krishna will say later, as the Lord will say later. Because when I do that, I'm removing myself from the field of responsibility and the field of life where all of the difficulties and rubs are. if there are any. If you're a jnani, you should be able to plop yourself in that field and it's fine. Right? Because your jnanam is mature and your mind is something that abides in the self, that kartritvam isn't there and that need to have this or that or the other thing to be happy isn't there, that you've matured out of that. And so until that maturity takes place, and that type of maturity takes place over time, it's better for the mind to be and for the person to be in the thick of it. Right? In the thick of it. And even Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse that will come quite a bit later. Actually, I don't remember quite where it is, but I remember the verse. Was almost poking fun of the samsari who decides. The person who has the kartritvam has all good intention. You can say all good intention. But decides that he just wants to go to the mountains and sit under a tree and meditate. And just get away from it all. Give it all up. Get away from it. And so going, leaving everything, leaving all of his responsibilities, he goes to the mountain and sits under the tree, right, and meditates on everything that he had left. Because you, wherever you go, you carry yourself with you. That's the idea. Wherever you go, you carry your unconscious with you, you carry your values with you, you carry your raga dvesha, your likes and dislikes with you. They don't just go away because you leave, right? And so you carry your mind with you. So that being the situation, it's better. Krishna will be presenting a case for this. It's better to keep the mind in the thick of it, in karma yoga. Because as long as that kartritvam is there, then, and that doership is there, means the raga dvesha is there. Raga dvesha. Now, when we say kartritvam is there, it implies the raga dvesha is there. What that means, when we say raga dvesha, your likes and dislikes are there, it's like this. For me, I need this to be happy. That's a raga. I want this so that I can be happy. I hate this. It makes me miserable. Right? Likes and dislikes, they're not burnt seeds. For a Swami, for one whose mind is mature and worked through all of this stuff, there's still preferences. I would rather have this than that. Like Swamiji will joke, I'd rather have the idli. The South Indian would say, I'd rather have the idli, you know, perhaps, than the chapati. South Indian. But the raga dvesha isn't there. Preference is there. Raga dvesha means that my equipoise, my well-being, becomes upset. Right? When I don't get my way, when things aren't going the way that I want, then this is making me very unhappy. This is making me happy. That's the raga dvesha. So when the kartra tvam, the doership, that kartra doer tvam, nestship or nest, or the kartra tvam. So when that doership is there, the raga dvesha is there, needs to be neutralized. Right? I'm a seeker. I'm after knowledge. As much as the sannyasi, right? I'm after the knowledge. But if the kartritvam is there, and a person has a choice between karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga, or living a life of sannyasa, Krishna will say the life of karma yoga is preferable. Because both are mumukshus. Both are seeking this knowledge equally. It's not really a both. It's one person. Here's a person who's seeking this knowledge. They can become a karma yogi or a sannyasi. Well, the fact is, the sannyasi also has to be a karma yogi. Right? In order, in the sense that the attitude that becomes natural for the karma yogi once being in the field and working through the likes and dislikes, that same attitude of samatvam, of equipoise, whether I get my rag, whether I get what I want or not, there's an equipoise. We'll see in a minute. Right? That has to be there in both cases. Because that is going to be what a mature mind is. And so what is the field that will give, that will help me the most in gaining that mature mind? So Krishna says, it's a karma yoga. Karma yoga is the stronger of the two. For giving me, for helping me to gain that type of mind that is what we call jnana nishtha, rootedness in this knowledge. So here, now he's going to be talking about this. So here, how he takes this first line, this first quarter, this first pada, karmani eva adhikaraha te, your qualification is in karma, karma yoga. So how we translate, that's karmani eva adhikaraha na jnana nishtayam te, not in jnana nishta. And then he says, and there, right? Karma kurvataha. I'll just do a little bit of this just so that you get it. He says, karma kurvataha, for you who are doing the karma, for the one who is doing the karma. Okay, now that, if you say that, for the one who is doing the karma, that means I'm taking myself still as a karta. I'm doing the karma. Okay? For that one who is doing the karma, ma paleshu adhikara astu, let there not be any adhikara, any right toward the fruits. For you who are doing the karma, because you're considering yourself as a karta, you consider yourself to be a doer. For you, the one who is considering yourself to be a doer here, for you, let there not be any adhikara. Don't consider yourself somebody who has a right or a qualification over the pala, over the result. Because Krishna will say over and over, I am the karma pala data. That's a word that we use in karma yoga, this phrase you have to know for Ishwara. Ishwara is the karma pala data. Karma pala data means the one who is the giver datra. Right? The data. The one who is the giver of the fruits of action. So Ishwara says, I'm the karma pala data. I'm the one who gives the fruits of action, not you. Your qualification is over doing the action. My qualification as Ishwara is over giving the results of action. That's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. You know? So understanding that truth, so he says, so kurvata, for you who are doing the karmas, ma paleshu astu, ma astu, let there not be, let it not be for you, right? Don't take yourself. It's an imperative, it's a command, right? Don't take yourself to be the qualified, to have a right over the polis, over the fruits of the action. He says, karma palatrishna ma bhut kadachana. He says, and now this is where we're going to have to really do some work, he says, karma palatrishna ma bhut. He says, for you, let there not be a thirst for the karma pala, for thirst, trishna. Trishna literally means thirst. Let there not be a thirst or desire. Trishna is used for desire. Mm-hmm. For the fruit of the action. Okay, so we have to understand exactly how this is. In this avastha of the karma yoga, he says, for this avastha, in this state, in the karma yoga state, let there never be a thirst for the fruit of the action. Okay? He says, I'll say in English, he says, when there is this trishna, when there is this thirst for the fruit of the action, then you become one who is the cause. Then for you, there is the cause. You become the cause for the attainment of the fruit of action. And it's in this manner that you become what we call a karma pala hetu, one who takes themselves to be the cause. Right? Because I want this. That's the thirst. I want this. and I am going after this. My raga dveshas are involved here. And this is what's going to cause the problem. Now, so I want to talk about this a little bit before we go further. When Shankara is dealing with this section, he moves from this, but he starts out in this section of viewing karma yoga. He's viewing karma as rituals and the duties that are required of a person. When we look at the karmas, there's basically four types of karma that a person can do. One is the kamya karma. Kamya karmas are the rituals, and I'm talking just rituals now, we'll move from there in a minute. But the kamya karmas are the rituals that we do in order to fulfill a desire. Now, there's actual rituals, Vedic rituals that I can do, like the Putra Kameshti is a very famous one for people who can't have a child. So putra means child, so desire for a child. So there's an ishta ritual for the desire of a child. Okay? So that's a kamya. Kamya means that which is desired. So there's karmas I can do, kamya karmas I can do. It's one type. There's another type of karma that are enjoined karmas. They're nitya karmas. Karmas that I have to do daily. Like different Agnihotra karmas, or fire rituals, or prayers three times a day. There's so many different rituals that are meant to be done on a daily basis. Those are called nitya karmas. The doing of these karmas gives punya. That punya can take me to better worlds next time, to Swargaloka, to better births, for a better lot next time. And they're enjoined karmas. They're called nitya karmas. There's another type of karma called naimittika karmas. Like, for instance, karmas for wedding, karmas for taking the sacred thread, karmas for when a parent dies, shraddha. There's karmas that are just joined by a particular, enjoined by, for a particular event. These karmas have to be done. So as a Hindu, you're obliged to do these karmas. They're part of your duty. Okay? There's another type of karma called prayaschitta. Those karmas are done, if you've ever made a mistake, you've done a papa, in order to neutralize that mistake, there's rituals that you can do. Right? One famous ritual that Swamiji often quotes is this, I forget the Sanskrit name of it, but it's a very well-known ritual, where over a 30-day period, following the phases of the moon, you start out the first day with a full meal. And the next day, you take a 15th off of that. And the next day, a 15th off. And the next day, a 15th off. Until you have one that day of fast. And then the next day, you have 1/15th of the normal size. Next day, 2/15ths. Until you're back to the full. So over a 30-day period, you go, you know, like this. So that's a discipline. It's called a prize. It's one of the karmas. It's a prayaschitta karma. It's a tapas. You do it in order to neutralize the papa. Right? Kind of like confession. This is considered karma, in order to neutralize the papa. Now, say we look at karma yoga only in terms of these rituals. We'll expand it later, but for now, just look at them only as a Hindu. The karma yoga is only in reference to the attitude I have toward these enjoined rituals. Okay. And a Hindu's life is very much structured around rituals and duties. Okay. So now, the first thing that is going to go as a karma yogi are the kamya karmas. I no longer do the rituals which have the desired template in mind. Let me do this ritual so that I can be happy. Right? Let me do this ritual so that I can gain wealth. Let me do this ritual so that I can have a child. Let me do this ritual so that I can have this. Those are kamya karmas. Those are avoided. Those aren't done anymore. Okay. Now what about the nitya and naimittika karmas? Those karmas are done because they're enjoined on me, and in the doing of them, as a Hindu, depending upon my stage of life, right, and on my gender, there'll be certain karmas that are enjoined on me that I must do, and by doing, I accrue punya. And by not doing, I can accrue papa. There's a debate about that, but we'll say just by doing them, I will accrue punya. These rituals I continue to do because they're my duty. I haven't taken sannyasa. Right? And so I continue to do these rituals, but now I do them with a different intention. Right? I'm now not doing these rituals so that I can go to heaven. I'm doing these rituals because they're my dharma. It's a big difference. I can do the rituals because they're my dharma and I'll get punya so that I can go to heaven. Or I can do these rituals because these rituals have been enjoined on me by the Lord. And they are my dharma. And so I do my dharma for the sake of Ishvara. So that I can gain, remember we're talking a mumukshu, I do these rituals for the sake of the Lord so that I can gain antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind, to gain jnana nishtha. And so the desire that I have, the desire in terms of a gain is neutralized because I'm doing this ritual now in order to please the Lord, to do my dharma, so that to please the Lord doing my dharma, for the sake of antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind. Not so that I can gain something out here. Right? That's the karma yoga. And so now in terms of the Vedic life of ritual, all of the rituals are done now for the sake of dharma, because they're enjoined on me, they're my duty, and to please the Lord, so that I can gain antakarana shuddhi. Antakarana is the mind, sometimes called sattva shuddhi. If I say sattva shuddhi, sattva means the mind. So Krishna will use it that way later. Antakarana shuddhi, purity of mind. Okay, so I'm doing the rituals for the pleasure of the Lord, because they're my dharma, so that I can gain antakarana shuddhi, that viveka, vairagya, shamadhamma, etc., so that I can gain nishtha in this knowledge. That's karma yoga. Now when Shankara is unfolding that, he's looking at it primarily from this aspect. But he moves out from it because Arjuna is a kshatriya, and Arjuna, by being a kshatriya, has been enjoined to fight. Right? That's Arjuna's dharma. Not only is that Arjuna's dharma, but then his dharma toward his family, his dharma toward his teachers. You know, there's so many, your life, in fact, you can look, and so this is where we move out now. Your life, in fact, is can be lived just in relation to dharma alone. Right? Forget the Vedic rituals. We don't have Vedic rituals here. But if you understand the Vedic rituals, I think it really helps. For me, it helps if I understand karma yoga. First, just in reference to these Vedic rituals, because the Vedic rituals are enjoined. You have to do them daily. The naimittikas you have to do every now and then. Right? The prayaschittas you'll do to neutralize your papa. But now, all of these dharmas you do because they're enjoined. All of these karmas you do because they're your duty. And then you're equating, really, Ishvara with dharma. Because what is Ishvara really? In the sense of this manifestation, how do you relate to Ishvara? It's really through the laws, it's through dharma. And so you see this creation and the laws of this creation as an expression of Ishvara. And so in your following of dharma, that is your service to the Lord. And so that's the vision there. So now, it's no longer, now just Vedic rituals again, it's no longer doing the ritual so that you can achieve a gain out here, like punya, papa, heaven world, better birth next time. Okay? Your relationship now is with Ishvara. Right? And the pala that you seek is antakarana shuddhi. So that, what's the antakarana shuddhi for? Really, so that I can know the whole. So that I can know Ishwara. You can say, so that I can know myself. It's the same thing. So that I can gain self-knowledge. Or so that I can know the Lord. It's all the same. Right? And so now, the whole pursuit is no longer, even though you're living in the world, it's no longer about fulfilling your desires. Right? It's about following the Dharma, right? Doing your duty for the sake of antakarana shuddhi. Okay? Gaining purity of mind. And so here when he says, karmani eva adhikaraha te. Okay. For where you are, and for where we all are, when we come to knowledge, really, you know, your qualification, and unless you've already gained the antakarana shuddhi, right? Because you can come to knowledge at any time. Most of us have some work to do, because we haven't done it before. You come at whatever phase you have in your own emotional development. That's just how it is. Everybody's going to be different. You know, you can come, you can land in this knowledge, meet your teacher, land in this knowledge when you still have a lot of work to do. Or maybe you've had to slug it out by yourself, doing all of that work, all of that dharma, all of that practice, or all of whatever it requires to gain a certain antakarana shuddhi that would allow you to go right into sannyasa, right? A sannyasa lifestyle. Right? But for the normal mumukshu, right, your qualification, for all of us, our qualification, is really to take on that karma yoga attitude, that karma yoga buddhi, it's called, until that sense of kartritva, that doership, resolves. And the raga dvesha, which really pulls the mind out, the likes and dislikes, which pulls the mind out into the world and out into that doership, until that resolves. The best way to resolve it is to be in the middle of the field, right, with your knowledge. Not to be in the middle of the field, the middle of the world without your knowledge, to be in the middle of the field with your knowledge. Because your knowledge will help you to bring the mind back, right, and to develop that attitude of karma yoga. What's nice when you think about, if you go back kind of into that Hindu scheme of just using the four different types of rituals, it's a little easier to say, okay, no more kamya karmas. I'm not going to do those rituals anymore. Right? Those are out now. Right? Now I'm just going to do the rituals that are my duty. Those rituals that are enjoined upon me. Right? And so now if you look at your life, right, what is it that is required of you? Yeah. We'll talk about how to deal with desires also. But now, in your day-to-day, what are the duties that are required of you? Right? And they're always there. You can't live without them. Right? But, you know, one thing to remember, because I know that people who in this Kali Yuga that we're probably in now, by most people.
Yeah. I can say so.
Most people think that we are. Yeah. Mumukshus are the odd one out. Mm-hmm. What, probably in any yuga, the mumukshu is the odd one out. Because the mumukshu is the person who no longer wants to participate in the way the world was made to be participated in. Your body, mind, sense organs, for all human beings, is meant to engage in the world. It's meant for ignorance. It's built, designed for samsara. Right? That's why in the Katha Upanishad, there's that one verse that says Bhagavan made a mistake, you know. He made all the sense organs going out and he didn't make one going in. So that self-knowledge is not built into the system. Right? And so we're all kind of built for ignorance. Right? And the whole world is working on that ignorance. It's working off of raga dvesha. It's working off of desire. It's working off of punya and papa and accomplishment and gain. You know? It's very extrovert in that way. So a mumukshu is that one in a million or billion that says, well, wait a minute, this doesn't work. You know, kind of like a Cassandra. This doesn't work. This doesn't work, everybody. This doesn't work. There's nobody to hear you. There's nobody to hear you. Right? And so now say, the fact that you are a mumukshu is looked at in the Vedas as the pinnacle, the best karma that could befall you. That you should have those questions, that you should come to this knowledge, that you should seek to gain self-knowledge. There is nothing more from the Vedic standpoint. There is nothing, there's no higher gain than that. There's nothing more than that. And so here you are in Kali Yuga, right? In a world that is chasing after accomplishment and gain. Yeah? And here you are, you know, someone who wants to gain self-knowledge and to be with yourself. Yeah. And so you may feel like a lot of times mumukshus initially, when you're jnani, I think this all goes away, but you feel you don't fit in. In some ways you don't fit in, right? Because your drives aren't the same. And say if you judge yourself or your sense of accomplishment or what is meaningful to you, if you judge what is meaningful to you by what is meaningful to others, you're not going to have find a slot for yourself. Right? So it's not going to, that type of judgment isn't going to help you. Instead, you have to have a relationship with Ishwara, I think. And to see the slot with Ishwara and with your teacher and with your Sangha, with your group. To see how Ishwara carves out a space for you in this creation. Because they say in the Shastra, in the Puranas, that a person who is a mumukshu in Kali Yuga is the most blessed. Because there's so few of you. That Ishwara gets special attention. Ishwara will give you special attention. No, I'm serious. To protect you and to help you. Right? Because it's so rare. Just think about it. Say, you know, you're in a situation where most people could care less about God or about Ishwara and just are totally, you know, involved in their gains and accomplishments and what they want to, the power, you know, power and greed and money and all of these things. So say that's becoming more and more dominant in the society, which seems to be this more and more dominant. And then there's some person out there whose interest is in Dharma, whose interest is in Ishwara, who wants to know the truth, who wants to know God, who wants to have a relationship with the Lord. So from Ishwara's standpoint, that's a little jewel sparkling in the infinite creation. That's a very precious little sparkle there, you know. And so Ishwara is protective of that, you know, to anthropomorphize it a bit. But it says that's how they talk in the Kali Yuga Purana. Swamiji's told stories like this. And so, and some quotes about it also, type of thing. And so now, say you think about that. Now you look, okay, here I'm a mumukshu. My commitment is toward gaining jnanam, gaining this knowledge. So now this is my field. This is the field. This is the life that Bhagavan has given me. This is my kshetra. In the 13th chapter, he'll call it the kshetra. That means the field. You're the kshetrajna, the knower of the field. This is the field. This is your field. Bhagavan has put you here. He has given you whatever situation you have and whatever opportunities are there. You look at all of them as opportunities for Antakarana Shuddhi. That's what they are. Everything that you do is done for the sake of purity of mind, Antakarana Shuddhi. So what is the highest value in any action? I would say instead of the result of action, even though, and this is where it can get tricky, where Karma Yoga is often misunderstood. Sometimes Karma Yoga is talked about, you must renounce the results of action. Give up the results of action. You can't do an action. It's impossible to do an action without knowing the result. You do an action for the result. For instance, even in, if I go back to the rituals, if I'm doing a ritual, right, I'm doing that action, the ritual is for a given result. I'm giving up that result. I'm giving up my attachment. Let's look at it this way. I'm giving up my attachment to the result, but I am doing the karma, right? But I'm giving up my attachment. It's a better way to say it. I'm giving up my attachment to the result. So here, there are so many karmas for me to do. I do those karmas for a given result because you can't do an action that doesn't have the result in mind. But what is my commitment to the karma? Let's say it is to Dharma. Because it is that karma is my responsibility. And so my commitment is to the Dharma. It's another way of saying my commitment is to Ishvara. It's the same. My commitment is to the Dharma. My commitment is to Ishvara. And what do I hope to get out of my commitment to Ishvara? Is Antakarana Shuddhi. Why do I want the Antakarana Shuddhi? Because my commitment is to knowledge. Right? So I do these actions for the sake of the Lord so that I can have what we call, we'll see in the next verse, a samatva buddhi. Means my mind, samatva means an equipoise, sameness. My mind isn't focused on the result of the action in terms of raga dvesha. My mind is focused on the antakarana shuddhi. Really, it's the freedom with which I'm able to do the action. Can I do the karma and accept the result as prasadam from Ishvara? I do the action, let Ishvara give the result. I accept the result as prasad from the Lord. And how can I do that? It's because my commitment really is toward jnanam. It's for self, toward self-knowledge. And what do I need for self-knowledge? I need a mind that's free. Right? And my mind, even though I have the kartritvam until I don't, even though I have that doership until I don't have it, until it resolves itself, right? As long as my commitment is toward Ishvara or toward the Antakarana Shuddhi, right? And not toward the raga dvesha, the fulfilling my likes or dislikes, my mind is free as I perform those actions. Because look at what tangles your mind. What is tangling your mind is not the performance of the action. It's your attachment to the result being a particular way. And so therefore, if you decide the actions I'm going to perform that I commit myself to are those actions which are my duty, right? Those are the actions that I do. And I accept the results of those actions as prasad from the Lord. Okay, so now say, the kamya karmas. I want to do this. I would like to have this. Right? It's really your prarabdha unfolding also. I want this. I want to do this action for this result. It's also karma. What's the karma yoga attitude? There. Still, I do the action, even if it's a kamya karma. I do the action accepting the result as prasad from the Lord. So even works were kamya karmas. Kamya karmas means I want this so that I can be happy. Even though you know that's ignorant, you know, still you're able to be with your mind in such a way that you can let it pursue what it wants to pursue, become engaged in what it wants, another level, become engaged in what it wants to become engaged in, as long as you maintain that relationship with Ishvara, right? That I accept the results of the action, results of my actions as prasad from the Lord. Right? So there's a couple of levels here. One thing that's important, and I read Swamiji's commentary on it, it's kind of long, it's worth reading if you can take the time to read it. Every action that you do, what has to be primary in your heart in order to have any kind of equipoise is dharma. Dharma, your sense of dharma also is something that's built into a person. And so when you think of, for us, when we think of what are our duties, you know, you say, what is our dharma? The dharma comes up for you all of the time. And it's just very basically the Sadhana Dharma is the golden rule. That's how you judge, right? That's how you judge really what is good for others. It becomes, there's complexities, of course, but that what is good for others, what is good for me, you know, what is good for me generally is good for others. What I would not want done to me, right? I don't want to do that to others. We know that. It's built in, right? And so you find that when you go against that dharma, there's agitation. And so the commitment to that dharma is, in a sense, a commitment to Ishvara. Or a commitment to Ishvara is a commitment to that dharma. Because that very simple dharma, right, is worldwide. Right? I mean, it's pervasive. It's universal. And so if I commit to that dharma to the best of my ability, and the actions that I choose to do and the way in which I fulfill desires don't transgress that dharma, okay, then that's one step toward karma yoga. Step two, if you can break them up like this, is recognizing that my qualification is toward doing the karma. And Bhagavan's qualification has to do with the result. And so I see myself in relationship to Ishvara. I do the karma and I receive the result as prasadam. And that prasad, we call it the prasada buddhi. And the prasada buddhi comes from an attitude one has when you go to temple. And when you go to temple and the pujari does the ritual, and gives so many offerings to the Lord, then collects those offerings, everything that's been offered to the Lord, and then comes it back, and then the Lord gives that to the devotees. And it could be that's called prasad, right? After the ritual is over and all of these offerings have been made, then we collect those offerings and the Lord gives them back to each one of us. And those offerings can be in the form of, it's always called prasad, but it could be even some water, some drops of water in your palm that the pujari will give, and then you'll take that as sacred water, you know, and you'll put it on your eyes or your hair, you know. It's sacred water. Or it could be some sandalwood. You know, you'll take that as that sandalwood is sacred and you'll put it on your forehead. Or it could be a flower. You would never just toss it. You put it behind your ear, right? Or it could be a whole meal, you know. Or it could be some sweets. You know, so it could go from a drop of water to a whole meal, depending upon the temple and then the day. But yet you will get some prasad, right? But whatever the prasad is, that prasad is sacred because it's coming from the Lord. And so if you look at your situation like that, as sacred and coming from the Lord, if you look at the results of your action, all of your actions as dialogue, as sacred and coming from the Lord, and that becomes your, what we call your drishti, your vision, right? And the vision is not on, let me have this so that I can be happy. that drishti, that vision, I need this to be this way so that I can be, that's agitating. Because the world has to work for you then. It has to give you what you want in order for you to be happy. This particular karma yoga, there's no agitation in it. There's only relationship with Ishvara. And what you're seeking in your life, the goal, what you're seeking is one thing. It's antakarana shuddhi. It's really jnanam. It's jnananishta is what you're seeking. Rootedness in your knowledge. But secondarily is the antakarana shuddhi, the purity of mind, the samatvam, the absolute equipoise that comes from putting that dharma, that relationship with the Lord first. Your desires are second. You know, even though you say, so say now we go one out. I'm doing this because I really want it, even though I know, you know. That knowledge helps you to know that in truth, the only ananda that you're ever going to experience is your own self anyway. That helps you. But still you want this, so you're engaged in it. Right? But so if you can go full force with dharmically toward this thing that you want, with that karma yoga attitude, it lets you live. You can live fully here. You can live out your desires. Right? You can live out your desires. You can put energy into your life with this little one thing, that you accept the results of what comes from your actions as prasad. And that also means that it releases you. It releases you. You're always in relationship with Ishvara and you're always learning. Right? Because this is what I got back from this. This is what I got back from this. You have the kartritvam. You're doing the action. This is what you get back. Right? So it's a continual relationship. And that becomes so... As your knowledge becomes clear, as your mind relaxes, your knowledge becomes more clear. Your jnanam. As your knowledge becomes more clear, you know, more clear, then that karma yoga attitude becomes more and more natural. Right? Because, in fact, you don't want anything except that inner well-being and peace. That's what we seek. That's what every samsari seeks, is to feel inside that all is well with me. We don't seek anything else, really. And so what you learn by this karma yoga attitude in light of knowledge, because the karma yogi and the sannyasi are both seeking knowledge. So what you learn is that your highest value is for your peace, your well-being, not for manipulating the environment. Right? And so it becomes easier and easier and easier. That karma yoga buddhi becomes the natural. It becomes natural. Right? That relationship becomes natural. And as the mind more and more relaxes into the ananda of yourself, enjoying the ananda of yourself, the less it asks the world to be different. The kartritvam resolves in the satisfaction of the mind. Right? Why should I want something to be different when I'm happy? See? If I'm happy and I feel inside all is well with me, where's the kartritvam? What do I want to change? That's the resolution that takes place. And it takes place because, in fact, the only way even the greatest samsari in the world has ever experienced wholeness or fullness is when the mind is relaxed and with myself. That's it. There is no other way. By fulfilling a desire, we can get a moment of relaxation so that mind can feel whole, right? But that's what's giving it to me. And so the mind that has that karma yoga buddhi, that mind relaxes and finds itself asking less and less and less of the world in terms of you be like this so that I can be happy. When it's no longer asking the world to be like this or that so that I can be happy, where's the kartrutvam? Where's the doership? It becomes a dagda bija. It's like a burnt seed. It has no reality. And that has nothing, it's not saying nothing about becoming inactive. Here in the Karma Yoga, here he says, let there not be any attachment to inaction. It's not about doing or not doing. It has nothing to do with not doing. Say you say, all right, I'm not going to do anything then. It doesn't have to do with doing or not doing. Right? It has to do with your relationship to the results of your action. Not with doing or not doing. If you're not doing, what are you not doing? Are you not doing something that's to be done? Why would you not do something that's to be done? Because I want to do something else? And so I'm not doing my dharma so I can do something else? Then again, I'm pulled back out, right? Into the results of action, rather than into that karma yoga buddhi. Okay? So here, let's look at this verse again. So he says, karmani eva adhikaraha te. You're qualified, A. Arjuna and the rest of us. You're qualified for this karma yoga. Right? For one who's doing karma, this you have to add this karma kurvata. For one who's doing the karma, never mock adachana. Never take yourself palashu. Never take yourself as responsible for the fruits of action, for the pola. Right? Then he says, don't consider yourself to be this karmapala hetuhu. Right? You're not qualified. You're not in control of the fruits. Don't take yourself to be one who is the giver of the fruits of action. And at the same time, don't become attached to non-action. Right? So this is his introduction to karma yoga. Now he's going to build on this. These verses are, they're just so amazing because they tell you how to be in the world in a way that works. That once you, as you understand it, it allows you to be totally engaged in the world and at the same time have your mind own up this knowledge. It's a beautiful progression. So let's just take a minute.
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.